Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Show number 505. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hi, how are you?
I'm a little sad. I'm a little verklempt. It's like your last time on the couch for a little while.
I know.
Doesn't mean we might not record across ocean waves if we can suss it out.
We could certainly do it either. We could either Skype from like Cozumel or Costa Maya.
I fucking hate you.
Or New Orleans.
Although we're having I love New Orleans. I might just meet you in New Orleans and we do a podcast from there.
Would that be
nice?
We
should do that.
You should.
I just had this idea.
Spend the weekend and we can spend all day Sunday.
Okay.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'm not kidding you.
No, that'd be great.
I'm going to write a note.
What if you spend a weekend?
New Orleans.
What if you spend a weekend in New Orleans and it coordinated and I got off the ship super early on that Sunday morning and we spent the afternoon together?
I would love that.
I'd love it too. That would be a joy.
Let's suss that out. So it's so good that we have these podcasts so we can work on our lives.
I know, right? Our travel plans.
So for those people who listen to the show for all 500 shows or some variation thereof, or if you're listening for the first time, we'll kind of catch you up. But you are going on a tour.
I go on a tour with the Second City, famed Second City
Improv
Comedy Theater.
Comedy.
Improv sketch comedy. And I spend 4 months working on a Norwegian cruise ship.
Is it always Norwegian?
It is. They have a contract with Norwegian.
Okay. A friend of mine was asking, and she may email you,
our mutual friend
of ours, Elizabeth. And I said, I don't know what ship he's on. I said, I think he's been on some different ones because I know one he had to become a Marine and one of them he
different,
didn't.
Yeah, different. The ships are different. Like, this is the Norwegian Star.
Okay.
And I've been on the...
But she's going to that area. Like, they're going to, like, aren't you in Belize? And
Belize and Roatan, Honduras, and Costa Maya and Cozumel. Mm. And then I found out recently.
Yes.
Anyway, so what I do is I do a best of Second City. For people unfamiliar, Second City is famous for sketch comedy and improv.
Right.
So we do a best of, and then we do some improv for 4 months on the ship. And we work very little and have a lot of fun. And I'm going with some very good friends, and I'm very much
and you have sex around the islands.
I hope to. I mean, I did have my Cozumel
guys.
My last time I was in Cozumel, there was this hot guy that I had my Friday morning sex with.
There you go.
And then there's always a cute dance around the ship.
Yep.
And
you're not supposed to fraternize with the staff, though, right?
No, the staff is fine. It's the passengers.
The passengers you can't fraternize with.
Yeah, you don't fraternize with the passengers. Well, not on the ship anyway.
Yeah.
Although they're not watching the gays. I shouldn't say this. I'm going to get in trouble. They're only watching the straight boys sort of like being aggressive with
married
women passengers.
Ladies
women
single
passengers.
Ladies.
But I found out that this particular contract goes at the end of... So it ends on May 7th. So about 16 days before that, whatever that is, at the end of April, it will go from New Orleans to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Miami, it will go to the Azores in Portugal. And so we'll have some Portugal time. And then it goes to Dover, as in the White Cliffs of.
What?
And then it goes to Sweden.
Wait, I don't want to go to New Orleans. I want to go to the White Cliffs.
And then it goes to Sweden.
What?
And then it ends in Copenhagen, and that's when I get off the ship.
On the 14th or 15th?
On the 7th of May.
Oh. So before the 7th, you will have done all those other places?
Yes.
At the very tail end?
At the very tail end of my contract. I thought I was literally just doing a transatlantic at the end and going from New Orleans...
Miami, up to like New York?
And then to Copenhagen.
Oh, you knew you were going to...
Yeah, but I didn't know we were going to go to other places.
Have you been to Copenhagen?
I never have, and I've never been to Sweden, and I've never been to the Azores, and I've never been to Dover.
Oh, my God. Your life is so good.
It's really good. I'm really excited about it. I'm mostly excited. I've been in rehearsals this week, and I'm mostly excited because the people that I'm working with are smart and grown up and funny, mm-hmm. and a girl from Boston who's just brilliantly funny, and a couple friend of mine who I've worked with before, which is gorgeous and brilliant, and then these two other gentlemen who I've never worked with before, but one of them is an Iraq war vet.
Oh, wow.
Who also happens to be a brilliant comedian, and then this teacher... guy who actually teaches at the Francis Parker School.
Oh, yeah.
But also does...
private school here.
Yeah, really beautiful school, progressive school. And so it's a really great group. I'm really excited.
So are you the only homo?
I am the only homo, yeah, but it's such a homo-friendly cast.
But that's kind of
Second
cool.
City always is. I have to say, I have never, not one time... I want to give a little plug for Second City in that. Yep. I think back in the day, who knows, it might have been less safe for the homos. In fact, right mm-hmm. now, on the main stage at Second mm-hmm. City, there's an out gay man, and on the ETC stage, there's an out gay man.
Any gay women?
Is there a gay... There isn't right now... But there has been.
You know, the lesbian that's on Saturday Night Live now is
Kate
McKinnon.
Yeah.
She's like kicking it. Like she was named as one of the like most powerful entertainers.
She's killing it.
By Forbes or somebody this year.
Her and then Cecily, who's not gay, but she is a Second City person.
Chicago.
She just came from Second City.
Yeah.
Is also killing it. She's the one who does it. For anyone who's familiar, she did that character, the girl you don't want to get stuck to talking to at a party.
Yep.
Friggin' funny.
It's good, but I'm just so glad because I actually feel like SNL is a very homophobic environment.
Yeah, there's only been one gay man and he wasn't even out.
Yeah, and so this is the first gay performer ever is Kate, which I think is...
Oh, yeah, she's killing it.
Or
she's
out, funny. I guess, out and gay.
Comedy can be... It's funny because comedy can be very much a straight boys club. There's still that prevailing attitude that women aren't as funny as men, which is
crazy because they have all the successful talk shows. Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres,
also,
they're lovable.
Think about the people who've won Oscars for playing funny parts.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't win Oscars for playing funny parts. Women win mm-hmm. Oscars for playing funny parts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that can still exist. And so I have to say for Second City, they have learned their diversity lesson and are quite inclusive. And they make sure that I, as a gay man, feel very safe mm-hmm. and very protected with the material I do,
mm-hmm.
With the culture of the mm-hmm. job that I'm being sent to do.
Yeah, because maybe the most open-minded people aren't always on your cruise ships.
Right, the passengers aren't necessarily. Although I have to say, you know, I have that weird ability to like...
Make them love
well,
you.
Well, it's like, you know, suddenly like this old Republican WW2 veteran is like, you know, it's like the story I told about the gentleman who came to see my show, Sandaland, the old grizzled man, who then was like, grabbed my arm to tell me how much he loved me.
Yeah.
And so I do have this weird, and I don't know, I'm not sure it has anything to do with me. It's something sort of like from the universe.
Yep.
And so people are very kind to me.
Yeah.
People are very kind to me about that.
And then
that.
You get to have these wonderful adventures.
Yeah.
You really, you've been doing this now. This is your sixth year?
Yeah. I think it's my sixth contract. I think it's my sixth contract.
It's kind of something nice for you annually to get to. Honestly, if you don't live in the Chicago area, and if you do, I mean, give it up for some gratitude, for the weather has been pretty, we've had pretty
50
good.
50 degrees today.
I mean, it's pretty gorgeous. You know, that'll change, you know, but
very soon,
right now it's really, really nice. You know, we're in the month of January and we've had some great December and January days.
Yeah.
But I know it's nice for you. And then you get to go see all these places. Do you feel like when you travel, I mean, obviously when you're on the part of, the tour where you're doing all those, Cozumel and
I do get to go into port every day.
You get to see these places repeatedly. But do you even think with this other transatlantic thing you'll be doing of going to Sweden and going to the White Cliffs and Copenhagen, you'll get to be there a little bit enough to kind of experience the culture?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I hope so. I will. I mean, even if it's just
like... Because
those
are very gay-friendly places.
Exactly. Even
going.
If it's just, you know, day trips or a couple of days, we do... You know, we rely on the other people on the ships that we meet to say, hey, go here, or this is a great place to go to, or they have these sort of like organized excursions if you want. But I do get to explore, and you know, there's this great, tool called the internet, right?
Yes.
And so I can, you know, a couple of weeks before I get to whatever part of Portugal.
Gather a little information.
Right, and say, is there a gay neighborhood in the town that I'm going to?
Yeah.
And maybe start off by going to a cafe.
Yeah.
And then go sightseeing, and then maybe get lunch at a restaurant in a gay neighborhood. I like to explore that stuff.
I know you do, and you always come back with great stories and great
tips
for us. Is there some place, since you've done this tour before, except for the end part, is there some place that you're excited to go back to, or you're like really excited to
go? I really, really love both Costa Maya and Cozumel very much. Belize is beautiful if you're staying at a resort, but where the boat docks, unless you're taking an excursion, it can be kind of rough. Beautiful, but rough.
Mm-hmm.
Roatan, Honduras is rough, but Roatan is an island, you know, not on the mainland, and it can be rough, but also there's some really beautiful places that we've discovered that mostly the crew knows about, you know, so that you sort of get a break from the passengers and you get to spend a day drinking mango margaritas with your,
which is
put,
what there
I'm
are.
I'm from Rhode Island, so I put
by
an R at the end.
Of them, yeah. You're from Rhode Island.
And so you can spend a lot of time with in those sort of special places.
Yeah.
So it's really lovely. I'm really looking forward to getting back to Cozumel and Costa Maya.
Well, we are sad you're leaving, but
Thank you.
Send you off only because you become an ambassador for us. Hopefully you can get a plug in for the Queercast. And then, you know, you bring back lots of stories.
I do.
And we get to live our sexploits all through you.
Hopefully sexually that's all I bring back, if you know what I'm saying.
Please, please only bring that back. Well, we are taking this time with Mitchell. Like I said, we can't guarantee that he and I will have a show for a little while, for a few months. Maybe we will. Hopefully we'll sneak one in. But definitely just want to kind of look ahead. 2013. I'm still having trouble writing that down sometimes
on
checks or documents or whatever. So we're going to look ahead to 2013. You know, kind of what it means for us as a GLBT community, as individuals. We've been doing that a little bit with Miss Cleo these past couple of weeks, but you know, just on a Mitchell Amy level, you know, what we see and our two cents of looking ahead to 2013. So
there's some,
and God only knows what we'll talk about. That's the intent right now before we go do the news and the theater stuff, but we can talk about anything.
We can talk about anything we want.
I'm sure we'll talk
about. I know
about
you and I were so shy.
Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand.
Right, Barbara Streisand. I have some beef with Barbara haters.
All right, we're gonna talk about that then.
Okay.
Because I see your dander is
I'm angry.
I love it.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Wasting no time in the fight for equal marriage in Illinois, on January 9th, lawmakers reintroduced legislation that would legalize same-sex marriage. That move came on the same day that new lawmakers were sworn in, the earliest possible time that sponsors could reintroduce the bill after it fell short the previous week. LGBT leaders have stated that movement on the bill could come by early February.
Out of the five people selected to read an original poem at the presidential inauguration, Richard Blanco, age 44, will be the first Latino, first gay man, and youngest person to read when he participates on January 21st. Robert Frost and Maya Angelou previously read at inaugurations.
Aaron Swartz, an internet activist, hacker, author, and programmer who created the web feed format RSS, committed suicide at age 26. Swartz, who battled depression, had both male and female lovers. He refused to label himself as bisexual or gay.
Portland, Oregon activist Laura Calvo has become the first transgender woman elected to the Democratic National Committee. Calvo has worked closely with Basic Rights Oregon to help pass the state's Equality Act and Family Fairness Act.
HRC will honor actress/LGBT activist Whoopi Goldberg with its Ally for Equality Award on February 2nd in New York City. The Oscar winner has been a longtime ally, speaking at 1987's March on Washington.
In Florida, Pinellas County passed a domestic registry giving unmarried couples, gay or straight, legal recognition of their relationships. The law passed by a 6-1 vote, and it will allow couples to register as domestic partners, granting them the right to visit each other in the hospital, make medical decisions for each other in a crisis, and, depending on their employers, share health insurance.
Transgender woman Elizabeth Tremblay, who went AWOL from the Marines 31 years ago, will be issued a discharge with honorable conditions from the military. Tremblay, then Donald Tremblay, entered the Marines in 1980, but left after a year without being properly discharged or being granted leave. In the 1990s, Tremblay took hormones and had gender reassignment surgery. Last year, Tremblay was arrested on a warrant for desertion.
The San Francisco Board of Supervisors is considering a ballot measure that would rename San Francisco International Airport after the late LGBT icon Harvey Milk. It would make the venue the first U.S. airport named after an openly gay individual.
Vico, Kentucky has become the smallest municipality in the United States to approve an LGBT non-discrimination law. Vico's 334 residents will be protected under the Fairness Ordinance, which bans discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Other Kentucky municipalities to pass such an ordinance are Covington, Lexington, and Louisville.
In Winter Haven, Florida, an 11-year-old fifth grader brought an 8-inch butcher knife to school after being subjected to anti-gay bullying. Students in the boys' class at Inwood Elementary School noticed the knife sticking out from the boys' Scooby-Doo book binder and reported the weapon to teachers. The child was placed in custody at a juvenile assessment center in Polk County.
Virginia's House of Delegates voted to confirm Tracy Thorne Begland, the state's first openly gay judge, to a full 6-year term on the Richmond General District Court. He still faces a Senate vote, but his strongest opposition is in the House.
Applications are now available for Iowa's 2013 Matthew Shepard Scholarship Program. The program invests in distinguished Iowa LGBTQ high school seniors. Applications are available at apply.matthewshepardscholarship.com and are due March 15th.
In world news, in France, hundreds of thousands of people converged January 13th on the Eiffel Tower to protest President François Hollande's plan to legalize same-sex marriage and, thus, allow gay and lesbian couples to adopt and conceive children. A recent survey found that about 52% of French favor same-sex marriage, down from 65% in August.
In Croatia, approximately 100 gay rights activists held a mass kissing protest outside one of the country's main Catholic cathedrals after priests branded homosexuality unnatural. However, 5 times as many counter-protesters appeared, hurling slurs and eggs at the crowd.
Androgynous model Andrej Pejic has landed on the cover of Serbian Elle, a first for the publication. Pejic, who is 21 and is a 6'1" male model who models both men's and women's fashion, was born in Bosnia. Pejic immigrated to Australia with his family at age 8. After high school, Pejic moved to London, where his career took off when he began posing as both male and female.
In Ireland, a gay civil partnership took place in every county in the country last year. More than 420 couples held civil ceremonies in 2012, which was the first full year of same-sex partnerships. Almost 1,000 same-sex couples have now registered their civil partnerships since the new legislation began in April of 2011.
Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti has come out against same-sex marriage and adoption. It was the first time the former economics professor has made a social issue part of his campaign. Elections will be held next month.
In England, the BBC Three show Lip Service, it's a lesbian drama, will not return for a third season. BBC has not given reasons for his decision to axe the show.
And in entertainment news, a new documentary about former New York City Mayor Ed Koch may have ruined his friendship with prominent gay rights activist Ethan Gito, who suggested in the movie that Koch is gay. Koch, 88, steadfastly refuses to discuss his sexuality.
Anne Hathaway is moving from Les Miserables to Shakespeare as she will star in an adaptation of Taming of the Shrew. Abby Morgan, who wrote The Iron Lady and Shame, will handle the adaptation, a modern retelling of the play set in the mid-20th century Italy.
Actor Victor Garber of Argo and TV's Alias came out of the closet in an interview with a blogger last week. Garber was asked to confirm if Rainer Andersson is his partner, and Garber said, "I don't really talk about it, but everybody knows," adding that Andersson would be at the SAG Awards with him.
PBS will air upcoming Live from Lincoln Center broadcasts, including evenings with Tony winners Kristen Chenoweth and Audra McDonald. Kristen Chenoweth, the Dames of Broadway, all of them, will air March 24th, while McDonald's show will run May 24th. For more, go to pbs.org.
The nominees for the 24th Annual GLAAD Media Awards have been announced. Nominees include films Cloud Atlas and The Perks of Being a Wallflower, TV shows The New Normal, Modern Family, and American Horror Story, and Asylum, musicians Adam Lambert and Frank Ocean, and publications The New York Times and Windy City Times. The awards will be held in New York March 16th, in Los Angeles April 20th, and in San Francisco on May the 11th.
CeeLo Green will have a Las Vegas show entitled CeeLo is Liberace, starting February 27th. The show promises a ride through decades of music, complete with Green's flamboyant sense of style.
Three Las Vegas hotels are battling to host a Britney Spears headline show. Caesars has been in talks for her big nightly show in Vegas residency. However, two other venues have entered into a bidding war. Spears could make as much as $100 million.
Broadway Records has released the new live album, Patti LuPone, Far Away Places. The album was recorded during LuPone's summer engagement at the nightclub 54 Below.
Elton John and David Furnish have become parents for a second time. The couple welcomed Elijah Joseph Daniel Furnish John. John, who is 65, and Furnish, who is 50, wed in a British civil partnership in 2005 and are already parents to two-year-old Zachary Jackson Levon Furnish John. Both children were born through surrogate mothers.
And singing superstar Carrie Underwood has once again expressed her thoughts on marriage equality. In the February issue of Allure magazine, she says, "I'm in favor of acceptance, and I'm a Christian person, and I do love the Lord, and I feel no matter who you are, what you believe, how you live your life, it's not my place to judge." Last June, Underwood received some backlash from fans when she said she supports same-sex marriage.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 21st, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Pride Films and Plays presents Beautiful Thing, a lovely coming-of-age drama at the Athenaeum Theater, playing now through February 17th. Now 20 years old, the play remains funny, explosive, and a timely look at bullying and love between two teens finding themselves. John Nasca directs. For details and tickets, visit pridefilmsandplays.com. Beautiful Thing by Jonathan Harvey, the 20th anniversary production.
Tickets are going fast for The Letters, a smart, sexy thriller of politics and disinformation now playing at Writers Theatre's strikingly intimate Books on Vernon Space in Glencoe. The Chicago Tribune calls The Letters a taut, personal dance of menace and the ideal selection for this space and these actors. And the Sun-Times adds The Letters is mesmerizing. Get your tickets today for The Letters at writerstheatre.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
Even if I was lonely, even if I was broke, even if all the dogs in the pound let me know, saying it's never over, it never ends, grab the guns and the ammo. Let us descend to the darkest of prisons and break their defense. We will ride on the cages. Rules will be bent or remind us our days are all numb and not spent. And peace, it comes easy like mist on the ridge. Breathe it in, breathe it out. It's all in my mouth. Gives me hope.
So before we broke, I said that we were going to talk about 2013 and look ahead. You know, we've been looking ahead with Miss Cleo, look ahead with Mitchell, and just kind of bring it on a more personal note, or just, you know, for us as GLBT individuals, you know, what does the year ahead look like? But before we did, right before we broke for the news and theater, I experienced that there is something, possibly your chi needs to be a little cleared around Barbara Streisand. What's going on? Are you angry with Barbara?
Angry with Barbara. Here's the deal. I love Barbara. I'm old school and I love Barbara. And The Guilt Trip is out and it's fabulous.
Which I haven't seen. And I heard really good things about.
Yes.
Like I heard it is, you know, it's not trying to win Oscar Best Picture.
It's
a fun, wonderful little
film. It's warm and it's charming. And it lacks the cynicism of most films, and certainly of Seth Rogen's films. I think it was advertised as a Seth Rogen film, and so people were like, oh, where's the raunch? And it isn't. It's a simple, basically two-character play, and it's really wonderful. And now, of course, I'm biased because I love her, so
yes.
I get that my opinion may be
different, but different.
Or
definitely, movie critics have given it like you know B minus,
Liz
B plus,
Smith.
And
Entertainment
are
Weekly rated it higher than they rated Les Mis.
Yeah,
Liz Smith. The
so did the reviewer on CBS Sunday Morning.
Yes,
said it was the only new movie
Richard
to
Roper,
see on
same
on,
thing.
On Christmas Day.
Richard Roper said it was the find of the season. My point is that it's a lovely, sweet film. Now, the Razzies, which are this organization of people, and they decide like the worst performances and the worst movies.
They gave Sandra Bullock the Razzie the same year she won the Oscar for a different film.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, they gave Barbara a Razzie this year for her performance in The Guilt Trip. And I want to say this. It has that. I get the Razzies and it's funny. It has so little to do with reality. Even if you don't like the movie, even the people who didn't like the movie, even the people who trashed the movie, loved her.
Yeah.
All of her reviews have been amazing. It's the warmest, most natural, down-to-earth performance she's given since The Way We Were.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so charming and real and beautiful. And so
it touches
on this for me. Her, generally the Razzies are an organization of, I hate to stereotype, I'm going to say it, a bunch of straight white boys, right? And there's something to this day about her.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys people because she's as a woman, as a Jew, and as a gay icon. Maybe I'm being overly political, but
go there. It's a podcast.
Well, because it's like,
I love it.
It pisses people off. It reminds me of the late 70s rock disco wars that we've talked about before. Like, right, you know, everybody, you know, when they smashed all the disco records in Wrigley Field, or was it Comiskey? Anyway, point is, it was homophobic and it was racist because disco was the music of black people and queer people. And so Streisand hating her is basically saying, who's this uppity Jew who the faggots love? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so you want to hate her because she did something badly?
Yep.
I'm first to admit that I think she stinks and nuts. I'll tell you that. So you want to give her a Razzie retrospectively for nuts? A lot of people like that movie. I do not.
I actually don't mind that
movie. No, a lot of people do. Alex Spillings, it's her favorite Barbara performance.
I love Nuts.
Not my favorite performance. But in this film, it's unwarranted, and it's just an excuse to attack her. And I feel like attacks on her are so sexist and so... They feel sexist and anti... Nobody else gets reviewed for their nose, right? Like, if you were to review Viola Davis's work based on her African-American shaped nose, the uproar about that review would be intense. But still, people review Barbara about her nose. Her Jewish, very Jewish, Semitic nose.
Yeah.
And I find it racist. I find it sexist because who does she think she is?
Right.
And I think that there's something about her as gay icon that pisses off people who don't understand that, who aren't part of that. And so they have to tear her down. You know, you want to tear her down because she's difficult or she's a perfectionist or she's bad in something? Great, but not in this. She isn't bad.
It just makes no sense because it kind of doesn't fit the profile of who gets Razzies. Razzies usually either go to people, to me, and this is my perspective, and it's probably uninformed, but you can correct me because maybe you have more information. But I usually think they go to people who... Maybe somebody said, okay, he is going to be the new best thing, or she is going to be the new best thing.
That's my point.
And they fail. Or it's somebody like George Clooney or Sandra Bullock or somebody who fail miserably at one thing.
Russell Crowe.
Really, really good at
Russell Crowe in Les Mis.
I haven't seen it yet. But
quite bad. And that makes sense. That's my point, is that to include her on this particular list this year seems disingenuous.
When she hasn't made a movie in forever.
Right. Seems disingenuous at the least. And offensive at the most, because it's about her as a person, not about her performance. Yep. You want to make fun of her performance, that's bad, but there isn't a review in which she got bad reviews.
I was going to say, you know, like I said, you know, it has not gotten any, that I have seen, it hasn't gotten any F's or D's or C, you know, even, I don't even think it's gotten C's. It's kind of like a B minus to a B B.
It's a really charming, warm movie about a mother and a son.
But everybody says, even though if somebody says, look, you know, some of the writing's not very good or it doesn't go anywhere or whatever people might say, everybody talks about the chemistry between these two.
Yes. So, it's marvelous.
And you can't have that without two people showing up. And
I just think it's disingenuous and it pissed me off. And I was like, as a Barbara defender, and I'm sure that a lot of people listen to the Windy City Queer Cast, love our Barbara. And it's like, I find it offensive, the continued blind hatred of her. And I think that it has to do with woman, Jewish, gay icon.
Yeah. And mother of gay.
It's just like gay. It's so,
she's a part of the GLBT community.
She's part of our culture. More so, and is more vocal about it and more comfortable being vocal about it than, say, Bette Midler, who, if we, as much as we love our B, she's quite...
You've been saying this. You and I've had this conversation.
Guarded.
I don't know that I agree with you that it's just around.
Article she just did, that interview she just did in, I think it was The Advocate or in Out. Mm-hmm. And she was almost reluctant to lend support to gay marriage. She did it, but begrudgingly. Go back and read it.
I also just think I saw her Oprah interview, though, on Oprah's Next Chapter.
She seemed guarded on that, too.
She seemed guarded on that, too. And not only just guarded, she seemed... I don't want to use the word depressed because I don't love that word. She seemed tired, cautious. She seemed softened. She seemed old. I don't even know. She seemed old.
She seemed old to me. Okay. She seemed old to me in a way that Barbara did not seem old.
She just seemed like she lost a little spark. And, you know, she obviously talked about how tired she was after Caesars doing her Vegas gig and some other stuff. But, you know, who knows? We as people go through journeys. And I don't know what part of her journey she is, but I just didn't feel her inner fire about anything. And
I didn't feel her honesty either. I didn't feel honesty.
And I feel like I definitely think she's guarded, but I don't think she's just guarded around gays. You know, no, I felt saying, like every
yeah,
topic,
I think she's guarded in general.
Every topic that Oprah talked to her about, I just felt a little like, I felt a little self-deprecation that wasn't funny self-deprecation, mm-hmm. but like sincere. I felt a loss of self.
I agree. I just think that.
And maybe this is the true bet. And maybe she's been playing an act that everyone needed her to, you know.
Right.
Shuck and jive and dance and be the monkey and be funny and be the thing, and because she started out the thing, and so then the thing is what gives you a career, and then you have a family and a child, and you kind of can't get off the treadmill, you know, or the escalator, a moving escalator, so to speak. And I do know women hit different things at 50 and at 60, and I've seen my mom like go, you know what, I finally hit this age, and I'm like, I don't actually freaking care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I guess for
me
it's about her, you know, the community that has supported her from day one.
I agree.
That,
but I just saying to you, you seem to think that she's maybe gone into conservatism.
I do.
Or she feels differently about the gays, and I think she feels differently about the world and herself. And I think what's coming out, and look, you know, you and I could armchair diagnose her, but I'm just saying, when I watched that interview on Oprah, I was like, what's happened to Bette? Like, my hand kind of went to my chest and I was like, is she in there? It's kind of like how I feel like some people may think Hillary Rodham Clinton is right now, because she's just so freaking tired.
And has a blood clot in her head.
Yeah, and needs to just like be quiet and lay down, and people don't ask me questions and expect me to be
she
on.
She needs to go to Block
right
Island
now.
For like a year.
Yeah.
Where they have a house.
My dad and I were talking about over Christmas, and we just said we just want her to go and somebody to give her a spa for like 3 years.
Yeah, a year massage.
Like, she should not have to do anything for like two.
No, I do
want to
put a little button on this thing about, because I did go see with Megan, who is Bette is her diva.
Yes.
We went to see Parental Guidance.
Yes.
Which is a very stupid movie, although effective.
Yes.
Guilt Trip is a much better film written.
Yes.
Although Parental Guidance still works somehow.
Yep.
You know who deserves a Razzie is Billy Crystal.
Yeah, you hate
because
him.
Because he's terrible.
Yeah.
It's like he's
doing...
Well,
he's not an actor. actor. No,
he's doing a shtick about how baseball in 1950s were the best part.
I know you're a comedy guy, but I just am tired of comedy people than just being actors. Because
if
I don't
can't
always
act.
If they can't act. I just he's think terrible. If you're a comedic actor, great. If you're just a comedian, then don't.
I mean, he's been acting for a long time. I just feel like he didn't even try. He was absolutely terrible. If it had been a movie about Bette Midler, Marissa Tomei, and then the amazing little girl, I can't remember the actress' name, but she's an amazing
little
actress.
The kids seem amazing.
They're amazing. They made me cry. But anyway, give Billy Crystal the Razzie. Leave Barbara alone.
Leave Babs alone.
2013. It's going to be awesome. Hopefully she films Gypsy.
Let's keep it about Barbara. 2013. Looking ahead.
Maybe gay marriage in Illinois.
Maybe gay marriage in Rhode Island. Maybe, Defense of Marriage Act gets knocked down, knocked out. Prop 8 upheld.
When do we think that's going to happen? In June?
Spring and June, I think we'll know a lot. You and I may be texting a bit about this while you're on a boat.
It'll be interesting.
These are linked. You know, the conversation we're having about Bette Midler, the conversation about looking at 2013 and us as individuals, you know, we have come out of, as a nation, as a country,
as a generation,
as a world, as a generation, these past couple of years, these first teen years into the 2000 and whatever.
Right,
10,
the 21st 11, century as a teenager.
Right. And they've been shaky at best. They've been
scary
financially. I think climate has been odd. Obviously, we've talked about
Leo. We started the 21st century with 9/11.
Yeah,
I mean it changed the world.
Yeah, and so here we are. You know, here we are heading into 2013. Cleo shared with us that this is, you know, a number 4 year, and that this is a foundational year, 1 and 3 equaling 4, and that is a strong year to, like, what is the journey that we're on? It's a defining year of the foundation of, like, okay, how are we going to proceed? And, and so I'm really curious for us as Jill BT people, how are we going to proceed? And, you know, I feel more than ever it becomes about, really honoring, and I'm still on this kick, and I'm sure Richard Knight and I will talk about it as well from watching Lincoln, the movie Lincoln, but I'm still on this kick of, like, you know, we are still living in a nation and many states, where we are not treated equally.
Right.
And that it feels like, well, you are treated equally, except, you know, around this marriage thing. We've, of course, now we're equal in the military. We're equal in a lot of governmental sectors for our partners.
We're equal in theory, but the problem is, I agree with you, Amy, and I think it is extraordinary. And people can point to the fact that, you know, LGBT people, not necessarily all, but, like, mm-hmm. Certainly gay men.
Yep.
Financially, right? Mm-hmm. So it's often quoted, not necessarily true, mm-hmm. that, you know, double income, no kids, and, you know,
right.
they're both men, so they don't have the glass ceiling. And so, what do these people have to complain about? But in theory, we're equal.
Yeah.
But remember, there's still teenagers who are killing themselves.
Yep.
There's still violence against transgendered people. There's still gay bashings that are going on, almost more so as, you know, as part of the backlash of our mm-hmm. acceptance. And so, yes, we are achieving equality, but there's this sense of anger about our equality.
Well, and that's what I feel like we're coming out of. We're coming out of this.
I hope so.
We're coming out of this period of time where, 2008, 2009, 2010, 11, those years of where it got louder. In the past couple of years, the bullying, whether it's been bigger or just we are talking about it more, we don't know. The problem is the problem bigger, or is the problem now just more visible?
Right, we just have a megaphone on it.
Mm-hmm. But that it's really interesting that, we are so much more comfortable with violence than we are with love. We are, I saw somebody posted the other day, why is this country more terrified of two men holding hands than they are holding handguns, and
yeah.
I
well, it's what I said. It's what I said on Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, the Pope,
mm-hmm.
who not first of all not being a Christian, secondly not being a Catholic, and thirdly not being religious in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. The idea that the Pope has anything to say to anybody is so silly to me. But I, mm-hmm. no offense to people, but everybody who listens to this podcast knows my take on religion. So this guy who wears Prada shoes and has completely removed any need for women in his life, mm-hmm. Surrounded himself with a bunch of men who also have no need for women. And anyway, you get my point.
Yep.
On Christmas Day, makes a speech. Now, what he doesn't talk about is the rape of that woman in India. He does not talk about the killings in the sort of like killing of women and people and refugees in Africa. He does not talk about the issues in the Middle East. He does not talk about all the hatred and all of this going on in the world that Jesus's love, which I do understand and believe mm-hmm. in and listen to as a philosophy, could help. You know what he talks about? Gay fucking marriage. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? With all this that's going on in our crazy, mm-hmm. global, mixed up, messed up, amazing world, that's mm-hmm. what this guy chose to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus would do?
I don't know, but if he's talking about it, then it's going to cause people to talk about it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the silver lining, right? I mean,
that's
silver lining.
That's a very good point, Amy. I like
The silver lining is that, okay, well, then let's talk about it and make people pick
Hopefully
a side.
Other people, even people who do believe in Jesus and Catholicism and the Pope, maybe even people feeling compassionate people who are completely opposite of me and my religious beliefs will hear that and think to themselves, the same thing on some level. Like, really?
That's what we need to talk about?
What are you talking about? How silly that seems to talk about. Like, as opposed to talking about all this hatred that's going on in the world, how the Sunnis hate the Shiites, and then they all hate the Jews, and then so-and-so hates this, and men hate women, all this stuff. He chooses to talk about love mm-hmm. in a disparaging way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mixed up.
Yeah, I think that, what I can say, having been out now for a couple of decades, what I can say is any great change has to come from, with two people, has to come with two people being willing to stay in the room. You know, if mm-hmm. you walk out of the room, something stagnates.
Yeah.
If we aren't talking to one another, it's why I've, spent so many years now in talk radio and have felt like, or podcasting or whatever, mm-hmm. The thing that makes this job feel imperative, and a gift that I get to talk about this is that I get to continue a conversation and give voice. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like I'm kind of okay sitting in the room with a family member who I want to have them sit in the room with me as long as they do. And I don't think we'll walk out of that room me having changed them.
Right.
But I do think sitting in that room changes them. And I do think that the conversations change people.
I had an interesting, I agree with you. And to add on to that, a really interesting conversation mm-hmm. with a friend of mine who went home for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And he came out to his parents many years ago, and then mm-hmm. they never brought it up again.
Yep.
And he never brought
That's
it up.
That's not uncommon. No. Not an uncommon story.
And he never brought it up to them.
Omission is.
Right.
Then, and so they then know. He had a recently, they don't want to talk about it, so I won't.
So I won't
make them uncomfortable.
Right. So he had recently had a breakup mm-hmm. of a 6-year relationship.
Yeah, which is significant.
And so we talked about his disappointment in his parents not asking about it, not engaging. And I said, and this is akin to what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with you 100%,
mm-hmm.
is that if we simply allow that, as opposed to not educating people about what to think, but educating the people in our lives about how we demand to be treated,
mm-hmm.
then we mm-hmm. give them the opportunity to fulfill that or not. I'm mm-hmm. not talking about changing someone's mind, but
exactly.
I am talking about saying, I'm staying in this room because I'm Amy or I'm Mitchell or I'm this friend. And if I want to be in this room with you, but to be in this room with you, I need to know that you hear me mm-hmm. and that you see me as a full human being mm-hmm. and that you accept all parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, I understand that. I may not have to, this room may not be the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's like we have to, we as LGBT people, we have to stay in the room so that we educate people about how we demand to be treated.
Well, and I just think we have to let people see us.
Right.
We have to let people see that I am impacted by my president saying he supports same-sex
yes.
marriage, saying it. not changing laws willy-nilly because you can. Right. Just saying although I wish you would. Although I wish you would. I mean,
just change the goddamn law.
But yeah. But I think that what we have to do is we have to talk about our lives openly and honestly. We have to be willing to not seem like we're giving them some sort of pristine version of our lives. Nope. So that we can just be human beings. So we can be members of the human race like every freaking other person, you know, who want to feel like my last wishes are met, who want to feel like I'm working really hard and fighting for our country and should be able to serve openly, who do want to feel like, you know, I want to talk about my partner around the water cooler if I choose to, right, because everybody else is talking about their
and not have
partner
to worry that
at
I'm
the
going
water
to offend
cooler
you.
Or I'm going to get fired, right, or I'm going right to, or you're going to treat me differently. Right. And we have to be, I guess what I'm saying is, I think 2013, I hope 2013 is a year of courage and transparency for us. You know, I don't know anymore. I believe we have clanged on the cans loudly. I think we are really well poised for that shot in a lot of states and even federally with same-sex marriage. You know, and then there will be like, okay, and then what? You know, I mean, because like, you know, Lincoln, you know, freed the slaves, but then it was like 100 and some odd years later and still going,
right,
you know,
right?
Right?
That's the point.
So, as Cleo said, but I just want to say that, you know, I think what it is like we need to be courageous enough to just live life as if.
Yeah.
And then clarify in case somebody thinks.
And that's where my point
comes in. We can't let them silence us.
Right.
I don't want to spend the year making people uncomfortable. I think we kind of have wanted to do that some.
And I'm
going
to flip that with you and say, yes, we have wanted to do that. And I've been guilty of that more than a lot of people because of what I do for a living.
Sure.
Using comedy.
And there are necessities for that.
But what I don't want to do is the opposite, which is I think we've done for a long time, is not
live our lives
live
to
our
make people comfortable.
Right. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable, but that's your problem, not mine anymore. Not in a hostile way.
No.
But simply, and so that's my hope for the 2013. We are courageously transparent and also take the time and the self-esteem to educate the people in our lives about how we want to be treated as individuals. I'm not talking about as a community.
Yeah.
I mean, like, mom,
this is what it
if
really
I, if you want
real
me to
impact.
Come, yes, if you want me to come home for Christmas,
mm-hmm,
it's important to me that you participate in all parts of my life. Otherwise, I'll stay in the part of my life in which people are concerned about all parts of my life.
Yeah.
And I'll send you a card.
Yeah.
Because when you ask me not to share parts mm-hmm that make you uncomfortable, you're shutting part of me down. And so not only to be, which I love what you, I love that expression, courageously transparent, but I would say courageous enough to state how we want to be treated.
Yeah. And I think, but I think we show people how to treat
yes
us.
Yes, that's
and
what
so,
I'm saying.
And I think that if...
I think sometimes too, okay, I'm just going to say this, and
yeah,
I agree with you 100%. I think sometimes we think we show people. It reminds me of the movie Torchsong Trilogy, the play. There's a brilliant line that has always stuck with me.
In Torchsong?
In Torchsong Trilogy from many, uh-huh, many years ago,
yep,
you know, that has stuck with me and resonated with me in my dealings with my family and my friends and the people
mm-hmm
in my life for many years. And there's a point where Harvey Fierstein in the movie version is yelling at his mother about how she never called when his partner died. I could have used that. I could have used your love. I was a widower and my partner was killed and you never asked. And then she says, you never told me.
Yep.
And she says to him, you cut me out of your life
mm-hmm
and then you blame me for not being there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, how do you know how I would have reacted? Maybe I would have behaved the
right
way you did. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would have had some advice. Now, so that's my point is
yeah
that we have to be... Yes, we do. We do teach by example, absolutely. But sometimes it's easy to look the other way at our examples because you don't want to see it.
Right.
My point is to take it a step further and without hostility,
yep,
and without anger and without beating, clanging.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. Be explicit, not implicit.
Yeah, and I think where we are as I think what I'm and the word that just came to me when you were just saying that was the word maturity. I think
maturing.
As a GLBT community, we are maturing.
I hope so.
And as Cleo said, a foundational year, I hope that we are choosing a mature path. And I'm not saying that, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s have been immature years. But I feel like
we're
still very young.
I mean, if Stonewall is the sort of ground zero, which it isn't, but if we talk about it, it's an easy way to talk about it. So that's 69, right?
Right.
Okay, so we're a movement that's still working.
Yeah.
You know, still working.
Yeah. We're 40.
Right, we're 40.
We're 40-something.
Right.
And this is, to me, where you really dip into your maturity.
I'm 40-something.
But this is where we really dip into our maturity, you know? And I think what I hear you saying, kind of what I'm saying, is just, you know, yes, we can clearly state what our lives look like.
I'm just saying yes and to you. I'm saying yes.
You're adding an and. And I'm not discounting your and. I'm not in contrast with it.
I am curious about what other people think. And I am curious. I always encourage this, and I think that people are reluctant to do it because they think I don't really mean it. But I would love...
Well, sometimes people put it on the podcast or on my Facebook or
I would love
to
hear what people think and how they deal with that with their families. This issue that Amy and I are talking about being courageously transparent.
Yeah.
And that fear of making our family, our friends, our coworkers, our acquaintances uncomfortable so we don't share our full, authentic existence. And how do... I'm a very out man because I make my living... being out. Part of my success, if I can call it that, is by being as out as I possibly can be. And so I have a different perspective than a lot of people. And I'm curious about what that feels or sounds like to people.
But I think it's interesting, too, for somebody like me and you, who we're really out. You know, there is a part where I can just kind of go, there's definitely a part. Somebody just said something in their day. Somebody, you know, we sell advertising and stuff for the paper and the podcast and all the other media that we do. And somebody said, I'm not going to go after that big company, you know, because, you know, they seem to be haters, or it wasn't the phrase they used, but just basically like, I just kind of sent back an LOL, and the person said, why are you saying LOL? I found that horribly offensive. And somewhere in between me just laughing about it and somebody else being like horribly offended lies the truth and the maturity. What I don't want to have happen is become so like, well, who's even going to try?
Right.
Which is kind of what I was saying. Like, there's so many other fish to fry. Like, if they don't want to, who cares?
Right.
And I'm not saying my philosophy was wrong in that situation.
Right.
You know, he was very, you know, his dander was very up. He was very upset, you know, offended. And I'm like, okay, there's not enough time for me to be offended by everybody who doesn't agree with me or support me or whatever.
Right.
But with our family and friends
said,
and our society and our friends and our society and the interaction we have, or like I said, you know, I know I've shared this too, like, you know, some interaction I had on Facebook around, you know, distant family members who feel differently about marriage, you know, believe they love me and believe, you know, that I can do what I want to do, but have an issue around same-sex marriage. And then I have some family members who still hope dad, or brother, but I still have family members who I'm sure hope that I meet a nice man one day, you know. I mean, keep waiting.
To be perfectly honest with you, there's the gentleman I'd like to introduce.
It could happen. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, we know when those... maybe we don't know, but I'm just saying, I hope for myself, I'll just say for myself, that I will continue to engage the conversation and continue to take people and just go, huh, okay, I hear you feel that. Let me just kind of tell you, though, through the reality of my life, not a theory of,
and also just the way that I feel.
Right, that it hurts my
feelings
that you think I don't deserve the same life opportunities that your son or daughter does, because they happen to, you know. And I was saying this to another friend the other night. We were talking about marriage, gay marriage, straight marriage. You know, this person had, you know, is divorced now, but had been married. And we were talking, and I said, we were talking about money and same-sex marriage and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, you know, I'm offended that straight people get tax breaks when they're married.
Right.
I don't understand why straight people who are married get tax breaks.
Right.
Why?
Why?
Why do you get tax breaks? You have two people living in your home. Why doesn't the single woman or man
who
haven't found love in their life,
who don't have dependents,
Right. And don't need much from our government, you know, they're not saying like, I have little children and I have all this.
Right.
Why don't they get tax breaks when they're fully self-supporting, independent?
Right.
You know, why just because you marry somebody,
right,
do you get a tax break? When you actually have a partner in life, you actually have somebody that if you fall down, is there to pick you up. Uh-huh. Why are we so warped? I mean, even if gay people get marriage, I think we should rule out tax breaks for married people. I don't understand it.
It is interesting.
I do not understand it. And why wouldn't everybody just go get married to get a tax break?
I think a lot of people do.
Well, I think a lot of people do. People get married to get a tax break, to stay in this country, to do a lot of bullshit, you know?
But that is an
interesting
question.
I do not understand it.
It is an interesting question, right? And I think it goes back to that idea that, like, for many years, the idea of marriage was that it was the foundation of our civilization.
I understand that.
And,
but that's not statistically, gay or straight,
true.
What the foundation, right. And gay people...
Or the demographic of America anymore.
Don't stay married. They don't stay married.
Right. I do that.
So then they cost us money and legal bull and, you know...
I do this bit in Sandaland Diaries that has nothing to do with David Sedaris' writing. Forgive me, David. In which I say this thing about gay marriage. And I say, first of all, I want to say that, you know... there's this debate about gay marriage and that gays getting married is going to ruin their marriage. And I say, you know what? If two gay guys getting married ruins your marriage, you know that's on you. You can pretend, you can quote the Bible, you can talk about whatever you want. But you and I know in a quiet room when there's nobody else around that that is a scapegoat. Because if your marriage tanks, it is on you. There's
it
a 60%, 50 to 60% divorce rate in this country, and we have barely been invited to the party. So stop pretending that we're ruining anything. Give us a chance to ruin it. You want us to ruin it? Give us a chance.
Why isn't George Clooney ruining it?
Or Britney
Why are
Spears.
People who make it look great to be single?
Right.
Why aren't other people ruining it?
We know
it?
We're ruining it.
Why are the
well,
gay people?
It's just, because the reality is, it's not true. It's not true.
No,
it's
of
talking
course it's
points.
Not.
It's not true.
Ooh. Courageous transparency.
Courageous transparency.
Damn it, you're going to miss me. You know
I love
you
that.
Have to like call
CT.
Me from the boat, right?
CT.
CT.
Courageous transparency.
I love it.
I love that. That's my, I'm taking that on.
Take it on. Take it on the road.
Take it on the road.
Take it on the boat. Take it on the high seas.
I'm taking it on the high seas.
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too.
We're going
to
talk.
We'll talk.
All right. Love you. Bon voyage.
Merci.
Don't bring back any... Well, you can bring back whoever you want. Just don't bring back any, you know, weird...
Shit.
Don't bring back a child. Then we'd have to get married.
What if we would at least have tax breaks. What if I adopted a kid?
Yeah, there you go. I brought him back from Cozumel. I'm going to call him Cozumel.
He's so sweet.
Like Madonna. I love it. All right. Well, love you.
I love you too.
Bon voyage.
Thank you.
And we're going to be, Oscars, the high holidays right around the corner. Scott Duff's going to sit in with me on Oscar night. I'm so excited
jealous.
About that show. Be jealous. And we'll let you give us your ballot, so maybe we will talk about it.
Okay.
With
oh, yeah, I'll email
Scott
it to
and
you.
I. We'll ask a few of the co-hosts to give us their
That's
ballots,
a great idea.
And we'll see who's in sync. How's that?
I love it.
I love it. I love it, too. Everybody have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.